It's great to be here. Hey, it's great to be here, isn't it? Yes, amen. This very short little trip that we took with my wife to come here, I've been just discovering during this week why we have been here. It's really, really about something that I would just share for a minute. But thank you so much. This has been a one huge body hug for us, pun intended, like really. Thank you so much for your love, for your just warmness and gentleness, and it's such a pleasure to be here. Isn't that honey? Like that honey? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the body of Christ, the eternal mystery, how you are uniting everything in heaven and on earth, one in Christ. And we are part of that amazing, amazing process and amazing plan, how you have united us. You have taken away the wall of partition between people, and in Christ we have absolute, eternal, amazing unity. We just thank you, Lord. Amen. So greetings from Helsinki. We have been now there with my wife for 8 years, and a lot of things have been happening during this time, but overall we're just so thankful that many of you remember us. Many of you have been saying that you're praying for us. Pray for the church in Helsinki and altogether all the churches in Finland. By the way, don't ever tell me that, oh, are you there in? Are you pastor there in the Church of Finland? No. We have at least 8 to 10 churches in Finland, depending on the definition, and more fellowships all around the place. And we are just one local church there in Helsinki. But Pastor Risto is sending greetings to you and all the elders, and I have a great privilege to bring these greetings to you. We are praying for you. We are very privileged to send our students here to the Bible College and just maintaining this amazing connection between us. Just was thinking about was sharing at the in this Finnish prayer meeting this afternoon concerning the in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3, let me just read from verse 2. Is talking about walking in the manner of worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, and with patience, bearing with one another in love. And then it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is talking about something that has to be proactive. And this church here in Baltimore is very, very good at this. We are not just trusting that in principle, somehow, theologically or otherwise, there's a unity between believers. This church here is going extra mile and extra 100 miles and extra 1,000 miles just to make it sure that we are experiencing that unity that we have in Christ. None of us, we can create that unity. It's already created. The moment when we have been baptized into that one body, we are one in Christ. God has done it. But our mission is to guard and cherish and foster the experience of that unity. And I'm just so very grateful for Pastor Schaller, his ministry, just to travel and just to keep in touch and just extend that token of love, token of friendship, token of unity. It's very valuable. This is one of those things that the Satan would love to, just to diminish, to divide us, just to give this unforgiving spirit or whatever, or just not caring about one another. And rather, he would like that there's no connection at all. But because this is under attack, and because this is right in the forefront of God's plan of the ages, that there would be this amazing unity in Christ. That's why we are proactive about it. And our trip here, I've been discovering, as I said, has been just, yeah, we want to be proactive. We are one. That's why we are here. And that's why we want to spend time. We have been able to spend time with like very small portion of this congregation during this short time, but it's been very, very rewarding. And thank you for praying for us. Thank you for praying for our youth in Finland, for our children, for our young adults. Please continue praying for us because we need your prayers. God has made us one, and what we are doing there, we hope to be bringing the same vision that you here have here, and you are spreading everywhere. And we have the same heritage, same vision, same spirit, same methods, largely, that work like whatever culture. And just thank you so much for this opportunity. And we just love you very much. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah, great words. Okay, we're going to take an offering right now. So if you would just prepare as the baskets are passed, just thank God for words like that. Just edifying us. This is the ministry of greater grace through the world. And if you're online, we have a button that you can, a link for you to follow if you'd like to donate that way. Thank you so much for being a part of our ministry and helping us, supporting us with your prayers and also with your substance. It's amazing that God moves us. So just be led by God tonight. To give as he would have you give. Your tithes may be an offering above and beyond your tithe. These things we know. We have a wise group of leaders that make sure that this ministry is operated with efficiency and integrity. And you can bank on that, really. What you put in the offering is really used for the work of the Lord and for the spread of the gospel. To every place that we can get to. And there's still time, apparently, Jesus. Unless you choose to take us, it'd be amazing. But yes, so let's pray right now. Lord, bless this offering and the songs that we're about to hear. And thank you for this time in our service and your joy that you give us in our hearts as we give and share. Amen.
I might be wrong on the date. I think I was it yesterday or day before would have been Pastor Stephen's birthday. The 4th, okay. And Noreen texted me and said he would have been 93 years old. And two of those songs were written by Pastor. And for some of us, it's like a tender thought, and you know, it's amazing when we think of the gospel and training and investment. I was also thinking of the past week. We had a movie for the children on Friday night. We had a harvest night and flea market. Tonight, a group are flying to Los Angeles to do mission work in San Diego. There was a weekend with Jesse Fires and the team, Pastor Ronaldo. I heard about a Reston, Virginia Bible study. Pastor Siraji did young adults seminar in Deep Creek Lake, Maryland, this past weekend. Pastor Shabelli and Fred Ellis and Mark Linton were in India and Nepal. Not to mention visitors from Finland. Thank you, Pastor Arto. That was awesome. And France came this past week. Food Bank is so active. We had a barbecue yesterday with ushers, security, nurses, greeters down at the Fellowship Hall. There's so much going on that I find out every day, what happened? What, really? You know, and it is amazing. Roger Robbins is here tonight with us from Turkey for a week. I like it. I like what Pastor Ardo said, and I feel that this is what God's will is, that we would have this rest. We'd be so rested in Christ and so much relating to Him that He leads us. And by the way, you have to learn to say no to things. We have so many activities and so many things going on, it's impossible to do all of them. So that means you say yes to some and no to others. And you are led, or we hope we are led, and then we take time and wait upon God and rest in Him. Bible school is going real well. I've been in the hallways and in the classes, stopping in and listening and hearing the testimonies. Very encouraged and thankful for how we live and operate here. I mean, so much from Arbor. I just saw Arbor doing the offering, and you know, Jerry Roberge, Pastor Jerry, the Roberge family, the tribe that's multiplying. Just wow, it's pretty amazing. It is. It's just pretty amazing to just recognize that Jesus is here with us in everyday living. And Pastor Gary's going to share tonight. I called him this afternoon and just said, could you share something on evangelism and build us up? And he's going to do that tonight. Lastly, we have a map of the area of the world where a small group of us are going to Kyrgyzstan. It's this little country here. And there's a, yeah, there it is. So I just drew this red circle here. So we, back in the 1990s, this was part of the Soviet Union, and it was dissolving, and we decided to go from Budapest. We even rented an airplane from Aeroflot, which is a totally incredible story. And we did a week flying out. We went to Dushanbe, Tajikistan. We went to Bukhara, Uzbekistan here. We went to Turkmenistan here. We went up to Ashgabat, Almaty. Great experience. We would land and preach and evangelize and give out a magazine called the Grace News. And anyway, we had people go to these cities and plant churches. So Pastor Monty said the doors open. It will close. It will close. So we have to go now. We have to do it. And we did. The body of Christ did. Finns did. Finns, Swedes, Ukrainians, Hungarians. And the work happened. And so now, almost 30 years later, Pastor Pete Westera goes there every year. But because of COVID, it hasn't happened. So we're going, and people are coming from Russia, Finland, Turkey, Hungary, and we're going to meet there. So that'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it'll be a great time. And I mention it because I just want you to be praying for that. Okay, thank you so much. Welcome, Pastor Gary.
Good evening. Yeah, we rented a an airplane from United Airlines, and we isn't that an amazing story though? Like from Aeroflot, you rent, and it's not still up there, but you just fly around the world and things God has done and will do. Pastor Arto, it's just great to see you. Thanks for coming again, Yulia. That's amazing. You guys would do that. Thank you. Amazing. We have such a blessed heritage in our church from Finland, and it was because of a great move of God there. And you can't go there without, like, just wondering, you know, how the Holy Spirit moved in that country, you know, when Pastor Schaller went there with the team. Amazing. Mary, great song. It wasn't Kathy that sang, was it? Wait, it was Mary. Mary. Okay. Yeah. What was that second song? It goes, I love you, Jesus, right? I love you, Jesus. And I think that's really, it's, and the first song was about going. And really, those two go together. And I think that's what I want to speak about tonight, okay? Going in his name. And then all you do is say, it's a worshipful, I love you, Jesus. Okay, so Father, bless tonight, God. Quicken us, enlighten our eyes, motivate us in our hearts. God, give us thoughts that you use in our life to direct us in an eternal way that counts for eternity. God, we're here because we want to know you. We love you. We want to express our gratitude to you tonight. God, we also know our ways. God, how quick we are to turn. Father, so, wow, so thankful. So thankful for the work of the ministry. Thank you, God. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, I had the privilege to work with Pastor Matt Garrett in the Bible College this year. It's just been great to see him and Francoise and Jillian and Pastor Cannon. I just saw him somewhere. Is he here? Yeah, Pastor Cannon. It's amazing just to be involved in the Bible College this year. And a class I'm teaching is it's called Methods of Evangelism, but Pastor Bob Colban he would like to rename it as Principles of Evangelism. And tonight, I just want to make, this is a 2 hour, I'm going to teach what I taught last Monday for 2 hours. So if you're in the class, you can leave. I'm going to say exactly the same thing. But Alina, you were late, so you have to stay, okay? Victoria, don't laugh. You were too. You were also late, so don't leave. Okay. Okay. So let's get started. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus Christ is ministering. Jesus Christ is healing. And you imagine him like feeling this sense of, I'm doing it all alone. My Father's doing something great through me. And you can imagine him doing that. And it says here in verse 35 that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. There we see that Christ, as a minister, was ministering to spirit, soul, and body of people. He was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing. And this is an example of ministry. This is the way our life is laid out, is given, and this is what is people actually see, and it ministers to them. Okay, so this is an incredible minute. He's healing the sick. Like, could it be any more visible than that? That's verse 35. And you go to 36, And there's a huge escalation in his heart, a desire in his ministry. Would Jesus had an escalation in his heart? Yes, he did. And it says here in verse 36, Jesus saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. There we see, just imagine this elevation of his awareness, of the Father speaking to his heart and say, look at those sheep. They're scattered. And that means like they're fainting. It means like they're dissolving. You ever put something in water and it dissolves? It's like they weren't living in their design. God breathed in man the breath of life. And they weren't living like that. And he saw that. And there's this word, it's his compassion. He had compassion on them. This word, it's not used by Paul. This is used in the Gospels about Jesus Christ. And there's this incredible inward love, desire. It said intestinal. It's in Christ. And he has this compassion on these people that have no shepherd. And so what does he do? First thing he does is he teaches his disciples how to pray. So what does he do? He says unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's great. It's big. And pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. There's our prayer. There's the compassion of Christ. He's teaching us how to pray, what to say. You know, to go into these persecuted nations, to go into the nations throughout the world, to go into our neighborhoods. But to go. He's thinking about these people. He wants laborers to be sent. So we see that there. And if you turn to Luke chapter 10, okay, we see this also here. This is where he appoints the 70 in Matthew chapter 9. He commissions the 12 disciples and he sends them out. Okay, we see in verse 2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. There's the Lord's prayer. He had compassion. And what did he do after these prayers? Remember we said he was alone before, like doing this incredible body, soul, and spirit ministry. And then he wanted other people to join in it. And this is when he commissions the 12 and the 70. He wants other people to be involved in what's on the Father's heart. And so he sends them out. There's both descriptions of what he told them. But one interesting aspect, I just want to bring it up real quick, is he spoke about the purse. I think this is something that's really important in our lives. The way we manage our means in our life so that we can be involved in the Great Commission, so that we can be involved in the harvest. This is something really personal, but it's something where God, it can be a snag, a snare, but it's something that we all have to think about. There's a lot of other aspects, but it's just something I thought of in the class. But the way we manage our purse, the way we view our purse for the gospel's sake. Okay, that's not the main point I wanted to bring up. I'm getting to it now. Remember then in Luke chapter 10, it says, let's see, verse 16. Look, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. There's a direct correlation there to what's happening to you is happening in heaven. That this, the interaction, this conversation, this the way you're in a heart relation, in a heart interaction with somebody, is the way that somebody is actually relating to God at that very same time. That's what's happening. This is what happens when we share the good news. And there's accountability happening in man's hearts for eternity when we share the good news. And the 70, what happened? They came back, and this is, you know, they're talking about the devils are subject unto them, and they're talking about, verse 17, how they were subject unto your name. You know, that's great. And what does he say in verse 18? He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over power over the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in the kingdom of heaven. There's something that happens. There's something that happens in evangelism. Evangelism is the good news. There's something that happens, and it's like we don't have to get over involved in the other kingdom. It's like, don't think about, like, there's something more personal and more tangible and more real that happens in your life. It's what happens in the kingdom of God. Your names are written in heaven. This is something that is always affirmed, reaffirmed, settled when we share the good news. The gospel. When we share the gospel, we're not sharing some make-believe, some facade that we think that, you know, people might like. That's probably why you might not like it, because you think it's show and tell. If you don't like it, this is maybe you think it's like something it's not. Evangelism. It's just me sharing my intimate relationship with Jesus Christ with somebody else. It's fellowship. It's all it is. What I've learned, what God has taught me about himself, I have a subject that I speak to, and I'm gauging his capacity. That's what I do when I fellowship with a Christian. I'm gauging their capacity. I'm fellowshipping with God. And when we do evangelism, when we speak to an unbeliever, we're fellowshipping with God, and we're gauging their capacity. And we're going to share with them. It's really simple. It's profound. It's what God has done in my life. It's who I really believe that God is. And it comes out. And I share the purity of the grace of God. And in my heart, I start to rejoice because I can't believe the message that I actually believe. That's evangelism. You're rehearsing what you believe with somebody while you're judging their capacity. So, and you have this perspective. It's like your perspective changes. Your name is written in heaven. There's deliverance. You're in something greater. You're not so, it's like you're above Satan's kingdom. There's victory. You're standing on his head. And then in verse 21, in this hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. Jesus, I don't know if he was alone or if he turned to his, you know, if he turned to the 70. I don't know. But I know that he was super excited. This eusplagnos, these bowels of mercy, these bowels of mercy that were in this compassion that he had inside of him. Somebody else got to experience this when, remember when he got elevated and he went to this other level and this compassion was in him? Somebody else, he's rejoicing in his spirit. Somebody else got to experience what I experienced with my Father. That's what I think that's why he's rejoicing in his spirit. It wasn't just me healing the sick and, you know, preaching, teaching in the synagogues and, you know, and preaching. It wasn't just that. It was other people. I included other people. They got to experience that. That's what he says here in 21. I thank thee, O Father in heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Like, there's this foolish little person that manages their purse correctly. They manage their purse. It's really important to them how you manage their purse before God. Their finances, their livelihood, their life. What they do. Every aspect of their life is very important because they're involved in the gospel. Like, the world might call him a fool. He might, you know, the prudent person says he's a fool for what he's doing with his life. Jesus Christ says here, he has revealed the apocalypse. He has uncovered to that person that was thought to be foolish. Jesus Christ is revealing himself. This person is the babe. This is some, it says here, is revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. There's a recognition in heaven and about this person's life. This little babe, this little fool in the world, but this wise, you know, this wise little man, whoever he might be, this wise young little girl, whoever they might be, has managed something in their heart to remain a babe so that God can reveal, can uncover something about himself to them. This is evangelism. And he turned. Now he turns to his disciples and he says privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Wow. I think, like, I don't know, but somehow they got to experience in their hearts this bowels of compassion that Christ had when he looked on the multitude and he saw them. And when you're living in that type of state, there's no fear of man. You're relating to God. Responses actually don't matter. If they reject you, they're rejecting him. But there's this compassion for people. You see that somebody's soul is at stake. I tell you that many prophets in verse 24 and kings have desired to see those things which you see. They wanted to see them. They wanted to grab them. They wanted to touch them. They wanted them to, you know, be processed in their mind. Somehow they wanted to gather them. But they didn't get them. But his disciples did. This is evangelism. It's not something I do. It's actually just an aspect. It's part of my life. The Great Commission, the harvest field, is part of our lives. It's not a group of people in the church. It's actually part of our sanctification process. Evangelism is part of our sanctification process in life. I can't say it more simple than that. It's not a duty for the elite soldiers. It's for babes that want to get to know the deep emotions of God. So whatever level, whatever means, I love seeing on Saturday this group of ladies. It's so incredible. They minister to these girls. Lorraine and Bonnie are bringing a girl to these teenage girls and the whole team there, and they minister. And it's like there's this joy. There's like this revelation of God. We're learning. Where's Carrie Robert? Is she here tonight? It's Carrie Robert. She's on the team. It's like great. Cheryl, Laura, I don't want to, Barry Goodman. I love Nupu. Is Nupu here? Probably said that name wrong. Nupu's, and then AD is on the team. It's just amazing, amazing group of ladies. My wife. And we're little babes out there trying to minister. I was with Jonathan, another Finn, just with my wife on Saturday, and we just got to just turn a block upside down in about an hour and 15 minutes. But literally, we just met people. We got to share our faith. And what I mean about sanctification, I mean, it is really an important part of our walk with God to do evangelism, to be a part of the Great Commission, to go into the harvest field. We came home joyful. On Friday with the high schoolers, we're there with three high school boys, and we're praying for a lady named Rebecca. And this lady comes around us. She comes around us, and she's praying with us while we're praying. Then afterwards, I say, "Do we know you?" She says, "No, I just saw you praying. I thought we'd pray with you. What's your name?" She goes, "It's Rhonda." I said, "Oh," and she saw the GGCA, Greater Grace Christian Academy. And she said, "I just, you know, Greater Grace is everything to me. There was a man in 1993 named Niels. I'm sure it was Niels DeYoung. And he went down and he met my family." I said, "Were you a kid?" She said, "No, I was a mother with some young children. He meant everything to our family." And said, she said, "He jump-started our life with God." And Niels, if he's listening, it's the second person that I have heard that from. The second person I've heard that from this school semester. I've heard the name Niels twice this semester from his ministry in 1993. It's absolutely incredible. So, amen, amen. The harvest fields that Matt, Pastor Shalit, think of those people coming from, you know, Islamic backgrounds, Islamic, you could say, countries, Islamic, like, you know, like heritages, and they're going to these areas, and people are believing the Bible. And when these people believe the Bible, they go back to their churches, they share, and then they take the gospel to their villages, to their cities, to their regions, to their countries. You know, this is Pastor Fred and Pastor Shibeli traveling in Nepal, you know, and Kathmandu, and then Bangalore and Mumbai. You know, like this is what we do. This is what we do. Roger coming here to go back to Turkey. You know, we're part of this. And I just said it was part of our sanctification process. It really and truly is. It doesn't make anybody great It's just part of our walk with God. Father, we thank you for tonight. Evangelism, how incredibly on the heart of you it is, your compassion. Heaven and hell is in the balance, God. And what happens at the end, God? We say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Yes, I love you, Jesus. We just say that. It's like a secret in a baby's heart. It's like comfort. Our names are written in heaven. The foundational things are affirmed in our hearts. God, truth is made so real as it comes off of our lips and we share it with somebody else. Thank you, God, for having compassion on the people without a shepherd and then including us in your commission. In Christ's name, amen.